On this week's episode, you'll hear from Johnson County K-State Extension experts who will help you put on a Thanksgiving meal that won't disappoint. You'll get tips on timing and shortcuts to make meal prep a little easier. Also, find out how to prevent cross-contamination when cutting and cooking so your guests don't get sick. Finally, find out where you can get some great recipes to start the holiday season off right.
Whether you live in or just love Johnson County, Kansas, JoCo On The Go has everything Johnson County. Here's what's happening and what's coming up in the community you call home.
Thanks for joining us for JoCo On The Go. I'm your host, Teresa Freed, a Johnson County resident and employee of Johnson County government. The holiday season is a great time of year to gather with family and friends and enjoy a feast or two. For some, thinking of those major meals can cause a little bit of stress, so today we're here to help. And here to get us started is Gaylene Van Horn and David Stallings. They're master food volunteers with the K-State Extension Office in Johnson County. Thank you both for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Well, let's get started with Thanksgiving since it's rapidly approaching. Turkey is sort of the star of the meal, but there are so many ways to cook it. And if you haven't cooked one before, it can be a little bit tricky to get the timing right and just to know when what all you're supposed to put on it, including the foil, the seasonings, and all that good stuff. So what's the best way to cook a bird?
Well, I think everyone sort of has their preferred way of cooking a bird. And my preferred way is to use an oven bag. And I put my turkey in there, and I usually put it breast down so that the breast has more moisture as it cooks. And I butter the outside of the bird as well as put some butter inside, a little bit of celery and onion to give it a little bit of flavoring. And how we enjoy the bird is to have it pretty much fall off the bone. It's certainly not a Norman Rockwell looking bird when we serve it.
So do you start out by cooking it upside down the way you would traditionally think of cooking it, right?
Right, yes. It just goes in upside down, stays in the oven the whole time that way. And I usually cook it about 325, but I know that Dave does his a little bit differently, and there are people that use air fryers, which I've never tried. But, you know, it's always fun to go someplace new and have them make the turkey so that I don't have to do it.
Right. All right. Do you want to chime in about your favorite?
Well, I think we do the traditional oven roasting and try to put 4 or 8 cups of broth under the pan or in the pan under the bird so the oven feels like it's fairly moist or the air is moist so it just doesn't dry out the turkey quite as fast. And then toward the end, maybe the last 30 or 45 minutes, we tint it with aluminum foil so it'll finish out. But toward the end, we're also checking the temperature of the breast because we want to make sure we don't undercook it or overcook it. Usually by checking regularly with a digital thermometer, we get the timing right. And then we get it out and we let it rest.
Okay, so that little thermometer that comes in it and pops up red. So is that the indicator that you need or do you need something else?
Well, you should be using a digital thermometer and it should be at 165 to really ensure that the turkey is done. Because in my case, if it has a little pop-up, it's at the bottom of the pan, so It doesn't pop up very good.
That makes sense. Okay. All right, so you're cooking for the very first time. You open up the package. What are some of the key things you need to do as soon as you open it up?
Well, you want to make sure you take the giblets that are inside out. And you're not supposed to be washing the turkey before you put it in your oven. It's a safety feature because if you wash it, you're spreading germs kind of all over your kitchen and all over your sink, so you don't want to be doing that. So it's important, and usually people buy frozen turkeys, and you want to make sure it's thawed, but you don't want to be thawing it out on your kitchen counter. So 3 to 4 days prior to Thanksgiving Day, you want to make sure you take it out of your freezer, put it in your refrigerator, and make sure it stays cold and let it thaw in the refrigerator.
And then not touching anything else, I guess, in the refrigerator. Great. All right. Any other advice for cooking a turkey for the first time?
Well, I think just about any time I'm cooking something that complicated or that large, for that matter, where we're feeding a lot of people, I almost always go to the internet and just start reading several articles and recipes and guidelines because I'm always willing to learn how to do something better. So before I start, while it's thawing in the refrigerator, I try to read up on what I need to be doing so I can get the timing of all the different steps correct. So it's really important to be prepared to know what you're doing.
Okay, so the next thing we want to address is the side dishes. There are some very traditional side dishes that everyone has at Thanksgiving. So what are some of those and what do you enjoy?
Well, my family has a recipe that for cranberry sauce, and it includes the mini marshmallows as well as oranges. And so if we have any other kind of recipe for cranberries, it's just not going to work. So people are very traditional and they see the meal as a sort of a comfort opportunity. Mm-hmm. So if they don't have the traditional sides, then they start wondering why not.
Everything's so, just ruined, right?
Yeah, exactly.
We've had, interestingly enough, we've had over the last 5 years, my youngest nephew, who's at that time was in his 20s, we wanted to change our meal and he was like, not letting it happen. He had very specific things we had to have. We had to have mashed potatoes and gravy and of course some sweet potatoes. And we have a family cranberry recipe as well. And then, you know, you just have to have pumpkin pie. Although he said we could get by with just chocolate pie. Mm. That was okay with everybody. But some of us still want pumpkin pie for dessert. But yes, it's very traditional. And it's so surprising. People really, I think it is a comfort meal for a lot of people. Right. It's, you know, one time that we celebrate that we really aren't doing so many other things that we can just enjoy the meal together and the conversation that we have with our families.
Any thoughts about rolls? Are there certain kinds of rolls that are best for Thanksgiving?
Homemade.
Okay.
Probably homemade.
Right. And through the program, we've learned how to bake. And so having rolls or a variety of other kinds of bread are very important. But if you enjoy baking, that's the time to really show off with the dinner rolls that you can make.
Okay. And juggling what you have to put in the oven and where it needs to go, that can be a real challenge too. Do you have any advice on the timing of putting things in the oven?
Well, I mean, it is tricky because I do my turkey for a number of hours. Fortunately, I have a second oven at home that I use both of them during Thanksgiving.
Nice.
And when neighbors have had their Thanksgiving, they've asked to borrow my ovens if I don't have company. So it's like, maybe you need to make sure your neighbor would allow you to use
right.
an extra oven.
Right.
Or, you know, when people bring things, if they can, they come just sort of before you eat, they have their things hot and
right.
bring them in hot. But there's always that challenge of juggling your things in the oven.
Okay, so first priority is getting the turkey in the oven, right?
First priority is getting that turkey in the oven.
Okay, and how much do you have to baby the turkey in terms of checking on it, basting it? I'm not sure how that works.
Well, I think the turkeys are coming with so much moisture already basted or pre-basted that at least we don't look at it until the last hour or so.
Oh, okay.
Mostly just to make sure that the temperature is consistent, because every time you open the door, the temperature seems to drop 20 degrees.
Oh.
And it's a challenge enough just to keep the temperature at the right place. So we try not to disturb it until toward the end, just a little bit safer and more consistent on the temperature.
And with it being in a baking bag, I usually don't disturb it. And I, you know, just kind of leave that oven closed and let it do its thing.
And when you take it out of the oven, are you supposed to let it sit for a little while or do you start carving it right away?
Well, in my case, you know, I want it to fall apart, but I do take it out. I do take it out and let it sit for a few minutes because it's just too hot to handle to have the pieces fall apart and put on a plate.
Yeah, and we're normally doing the typical carving. And of course, you want it to cool down, but you also want the moisture in the meat to sort of settle back into the meat. So we normally have a carving platter that we use just to hold it in place. But I think the key is to just choreograph all the different dishes. And my wife is very linear and she's an excellent cook. So we will sit down and actually plan out all the steps. And one of the pieces that's easy to forget is how much time it takes to get the turkey ready to put on the plate, to put on the table. You sometimes think that you're just going to pull the turkey out and it goes to the table, but you get about 30 more minutes of work before that happens.
And I think even more than the oven sort of distribution is, you know, getting your mashed potatoes in the gravy. That seems to be the trickiest part because the mashed potatoes cool really quickly and you need the turkey out to use the gravy. And so that is my dilemma. Usually it's like, okay, somebody's got to be there to mash the potatoes at X time. And sort of that's the coordination almost more for me than actually the oven space.
Right.
I think you're exactly right. I think how well people receive your mashed potatoes is almost as important as the turkey, because if you screw that up, then it's sort of like something's wrong, you know, something's out of sync, because everybody knows it's not that hard to make mashed potatoes. It's real easy to make them cold,
right?
But it's really important for the mashed potatoes to be ready.
Okay, good advice there. And we talked a little bit about dessert. Pumpkin pie is a very traditional dessert, and apparently chocolate pie is very good as well. Are there any other things you would recommend for the holiday?
I always like something pumpkin just because it's traditional for Thanksgiving time. And I love pumpkin, so that's sort of a must-have for me.
We try to stay away from the cream pies because they just, especially meringue, because there's just so much going on and so much moisture sort of with all the food on the table. So when I was a kid, we had many failed attempts at pecan pie. Mm. My mom was not a great pie maker. Mm-hmm. But now we always have pecan pie because that's just a sort of a staple pie. But it's also just seemed to be traditional and everybody likes that much pecan.
Right. And how much advance time do you need to start working on your desserts? Because I know with pumpkin pie, you need to let it cool in the refrigerator. Is that right?
Well, you can, or you can usually, because Thanksgiving is such a complicated meal, I would try to get my desserts done before the day of the actually Thanksgiving day, or the day you're doing your Thanksgiving meal, just to give you a little more time to take a breath and enjoy the time that you're, you know, working on the meal.
Right.
That's a great idea. And it's easy to do the night before if you if you plan ahead. But you can even do it a couple of days ahead because the pies are going to be okay in the refrigerator. And then you take them out Thanksgiving Day and let them get to room temperature if that's what you want.
Oh, okay. And it does free up the oven space, right?
Exactly.
Which is very important that day. Another question, when you have guests who are on restricted diets, we want to accommodate them as much as we can. So people with dietary restrictions in terms of things like dairy or sugar, are there things that we can do to help with that?
I think you can ask. I think if you have family members, you probably know what their issues are. But if you're having new people for Thanksgiving dinner, that it's if you're going to invite them into your home and feed them. A lot of times when we're guests in other people's houses, if we have a gluten issue or something, we'll mention that so that they feel comfortable, because the last thing you want is for someone to go home and be unhappy,
right?
Or not feeling well. So I think it's just a courtesy to ask and then do what you can to accommodate that.
I would agree, and just, you know, tell them, you know, this happens to have gluten, here we have a gluten-free option, whether it be fruit or something very simple, but just to have that available for them. A lot of people who have, or from my experience, a lot of people who do have these kinds of allergies or, you know, problems with different kinds of foods, they really don't want you, particularly at a big event, don't want you to go to a lot of extra trouble to make it something special just for them.
One more question, very important. What is your favorite place to get recipes?
Well, we get a lot of great recipes at the extension office.
Right.
Every time we have a class, it's like, oh, wow, I need to try that. And then there are others to try. And I use a lot of those. My sister is a great place to get recipes to. She is, I don't know where she gets all of them, but she has some great ones as well. So I would say family and extension and a lot of places like that.
My wife's family, mother and father, are both excellent cooks, and they put together a little notebook. And so the first place I go for, especially the traditional food, is to the notebook, because I know if I cook it that way, I'm safe.
Right.
At least with my wife. But, you know, once you get past the traditions in your home, there's just so much information on the internet. And so one of the things that we go to often is the America's Test Kitchen, because it's a very technical, sort of detailed, and you know that it's been tested quite often, and there are often videos to show you actually how to prepare it. So that's one of my favorite places to go.
All right, that's some great advice, and thank you both for being here today.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Glad to be here.
Continuing our conversation about holiday food prep, another important thing to consider is contamination. If you're hosting a holiday meal, how can we make sure guests have a great time and don't leave with a case of food poisoning? To shed some light on this issue, I'm joined by Crystal Futrell, also with the Johnson County K-State Extension Office. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, so why do we see a greater risk of contamination around the holidays and the winter months?
With holidays, you've got a lot of people cooking a lot of things. They may not be cooking often throughout the rest of the year, so they may be a little rusty with their food safety awareness in the kitchen. Also, you've got families coming together, and we always are concerned with food safety. We're always concerned with our high-risk populations, so that's the very young, the elderly, and the very sick. So that tends to kind of happen when so it's just kind of a perfect storm. You've got maybe an inexperienced cook or someone not used to cooking a lot of food, and you've got a high-risk population opportunity. So a lot of reasons why people might get sick.
Okay, so people just not being as careful as they should be, and you have a lot of chaos in the kitchen, people grabbing spoons and knives and not really knowing the history of where they've been, right?
More worried about getting things done and on the table than how they maybe get there.
Okay, that makes sense. So what are some of the ways to avoid getting sick from spoiled or contaminated food?
I would say just be aware of what's required to keep your food safe. We kind of have a saying in the food safety world, keep hot things hot, keep cold things cold. Germs love room temperatures. They love to sit out. They love food that sits out for a long time. So just being mindful that you want to maintain your temperatures and put things away as soon as you can. And then making sure that anything you're preparing, knowing what the appropriate cooking temperature is. So like for that turkey, making sure it gets to 165. So things like that would be helpful.
Okay. So it seems like there are certain foods that are especially prone to contamination, like turkey. So what are some of those foods?
Well, certainly poultry. Salmonella is a huge issue with poultry, but other things are as well. So, I mean, there's Campylobacter and just a whole host of bacteria and that you can't see, you can't smell, you don't know they're there. So it's always important to try and treat things with kid gloves. But certainly any kind of meats, raw meats, you need to watch out for cross-contamination issues. But even things like cooked vegetables, any kind of chopped or cooked produce items are at risk for bacteria contamination. So just making sure that you're cooking things to the correct temperature and taking care of them once they're done as well.
Okay, so I take the turkey out of the oven, I let it sit for a little bit, as we heard. That's very important. I put it on a platter and I serve it to my guests. So how long can the turkey sit out? Because I'm sure people are picking on it throughout the night.
Yes, I've been to so many dinners where, Thanksgiving is served at lunch and then it doesn't go away. And then we come back for it for dinner and mm-hmm. It's just been sitting out for 6 hours. So the general rule is you can leave things out for up to 2 hours. So that's kind of the magic window is 2 hours. But after 2 hours, it's got to go into the fridge.
Okay, that's very important. So what are some other ideas? I know anything with eggs or mayonnaise can be an issue. Maybe that's more with warm weather outside or in the hot sun. But what are some other things?
So really, anything that's chopped. So if you have kind of like a crudité platter, just celery and carrots and ranch dip just to nibble on. So any produce that is chopped, that's at risk. Any produce that is cooked, so even like your mashed potatoes, your dressing, your stuffing, your corn casserole, sweet potato casserole. So once it's cooked, it becomes kind of a food safety, I don't want to say hazard, but it needs to be maintained. So again, all of that applies, that 2-hour window applies.
Okay, is there anything that should get just thrown out instead of going back into the fridge after a certain time?
Yeah, after that 2 hours. Or if you've got, especially if you've got a buffet line mm-hmm. where it's being handled readily by young hands mm-hmm. or if it's just kind of sitting out and you've got pets running around. So maybe it's just not worth kind of trying to hold on to that. And just maybe starting over or just being very cognizant of trying to keep that as pristine and food safe as you can.
Right. And you bring up a good point with little hands. They're not super great with making sure they're wiping noses with tissues and washing hands. So you got to watch out for the colds and flus around food.
And I guess that's a good point, too, is just making sure when you're cooking or before you're eating, washing hands, make sure you've got ample soap. Clean towels and washing those hands for about 20 seconds.
And if you do get sick, what are some of those indicators that somebody might not be doing so great?
From food poisoning related? Well, there's always kind of those GI signals, the diarrhea, the vomiting. anyone who says they get this, the 24-hour stomach flu, actually has kind of a mild case of foodborne poisoning. Be mindful of that. But another thing, I often hear this as, you know, people get through Thanksgiving and they say, oh, well, no one's, we made it, you know, come Monday morning, no one's gotten sick. I must have done everything okay. But for some folks, it can take up to several weeks before symptoms emerge. So just watching out for, you know, upset stomach, diarrhea, nausea, making sure they get rest and lots of water.
Okay, so hopefully nobody gets that with their Thanksgiving meals. We've gotten a lot of great tips today to make the holiday great, but what are some other places people can go to get information, not just about food safety, but also recipes?
Well, our website is johnson.k-state.edu. So we'll have lots of resources on there on the health and food safety page on how to make sure that your Thanksgiving is a happy, delicious, and healthy one.
All right. Great information. Thank you for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
You just heard JoCo on the Go. Join us next time for more Everything Johnson County. Have a topic you want to discuss? We want to hear from you. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at JoCoGov. For more on this podcast, visit jocogov.org/podcast. Thanks for listening.